Hi, this is Trevin Wax, and you're listening to a podcast interview with Red Mountain Church.
Now may the Lord reveal His face and teach our stammering tongues to make His sovereign reigning grace the subject of our songs. No sweeter subject can invite a sinner's heart to see. Display the glorious right of our exalted King.
No sweeter subject can invite a sinner's heart to sing. And Red Mountain Church has been singing of the sweet subject of the gospel for 5 years now. They have 5 CDs, each that put old hymns to new melodies, beginning with Depth of Mercy in 2003, Heaven in 2004, The Gadsby Project in 2005, Help My Unbelief in 2006, and This Breaks My Heart of Stone in 2007. I'm speaking with Clint Wells, Brian Murphy, and Ashley Sperling. Okay, guys, what are your roles? What do the three of you do to produce and to create this music, Red Mountain Music?
Red Mountain Music, as far as the records, is pretty different from the church. At church, it's kind of a... So I probably, for the purpose of this interview, won't talk much about the church and how we do music there, because it's kind of a separate subject. So unless you were curious about that, we can do that, I guess. But for the records, Clint and I kind of are real involved with the production of it. So as far as the ideas that land on the songs and how the songs end up sounding, that's something that Clint and I do together. And then Ashley is one of the main vocalists, but we have several vocalists that usually contribute to our records, but Ashley's sort of the most distinctive voice probably for our records.
Now, how is it that you all came together? How did Red Mountain Church, at least the musical aspect of it, how did that begin?
I did music when I was at RUF. This is Brian talking. When I was at Auburn RUF, I was involved with music there. And we had done a few records there, some of the kind of the standard RUF tunes, 10,000 times 10,000, Beneath the Cross of Jesus, a lot of stuff that Chris Minor had written. And so when Red Mountain was probably a couple years old, and I thought it'd be fun to do some more records here with some music that we had been doing that had not been recorded yet, and then also some of the new music we were starting to write. So the musicians that started on those first records largely came from Birmingham and our friends, and that's where Clint and I really started working together. And I met Ashley. She was the backup singer for a wedding, and I was the backup piano player for a wedding. And I thought, who was the primary singer? She must be really great. And I was, you know, blown away by Ashley's voice. So I said, hey, I'm making this really nerdy hymn record. You want to come sing on it? And she was like, no, that sounds really nerdy.
That's not true. That is not true.
And then the rest is kind of history. We just kind of been building from there.
Well, nerdy or not, you've definitely put out a lot of output, a lot of songs in the last 5 years. I look at my iTunes library, and I have 72 songs from Red Mountain Church there, and that's amazing. So how have you been able to put out that much?
I think the official term for it is obsessive compulsive disorder. It's pretty excessive. I don't think any of us intended to turn this into like some sort of CD factory, but we've just write a lot of songs. I don't know why it just is that way, but it is. So
Well, and it's strange too, because our first record, Depth of Mercy, we actually tried to write more for that and couldn't. And so a lot of songs on that record are familiar songs. And I think we only had like 2 songs that we had written. And we even tried to, and it was just, for some reason, it just wasn't happening. And I think we sort of even despaired of ever writing hymns, really. But after Heaven, we just started writing tons and tons of songs. And then we have a bunch of friends who write a lot of songs too, who share them with us.
Well, let's listen to a clip from one of those songs from your first album, From Depth of Mercy. This is one of my favorites from the album, Jesus, Thou Joy of Loving Hearts.
Oh, Jesus, ever with us stay. Make all our moments calm and right. Chase the dark night of sin away. Shed over the world thy holy light. Thank you.
Now, you have chosen to focus on the old hymns.
Correct, yeah.
Why the old hymns? What is it about those hymns that are intriguing to you?
Well, we... it's definitely not because we think anything poorly about other kinds of music. I think we just feel like the language of the hymns captures a lot of the emotions and aspects of the gospel in a way that just modern songs don't do that. And an old hymn just sort of reminds me that dudes hundreds of years ago struggle with the same things I struggle with now. So they sort of connect me to my past, and they help me feel less alone. And they're just prettier. I mean, they're just more fun to work with.
Pensive, doubting, fearful heart, hear what Christ the Savior says. Every word should joy impart, change thy mourning into praise. Yes, he speaks and speaks to thee. May he help thee to believe. Then thou presently wilt see thou hast little cause to grieve.
Now, you haven't been focusing just on old hymns. You've been specifically drawn to the Gadsby Hymnal, which really is a hymn book that contains a lot of forgotten hymns. I mean, these are not hymns that we grew up singing in church. These are hymn texts that are you have sort of rediscovered and given a new voice. What is it about the Gadsby Hymnal that has really intrigued you?
There's a lot of different stuff. I mean, I think part of your question was, that these are texts that are totally unfamiliar. So I don't feel incredibly passionate about taking a song like, for example, Amazing Grace, and rewriting the tune to that song, because it already has a timeless and meaningful melody that's relevant, you know, today. So the exciting thing is taking this old text that is really poetic and really relatable, but is essentially dead and not known, and kind of bringing it back and singing it again. That's part one of why the Gadsby is there is no written music really for the Gadsby. There is, but you kind of dig for it. The Gadsby is really just a book of poetry. And so for a bunch of music writers, it's just a gold mine. And I think part of it, too, we kind of tried to focus on the Gadsby, maybe to draw attention to the fact that, hey, there are, for other people, because we really want other people to also get involved with this with us, and we have. It's been fun to sort of work with people all over the country on some of this stuff. So that was part of it, too. But now we're also trying to, I think, kind of branch out a little bit beyond the Gadsby and work on some stuff. But we keep going back to it because it's a pretty good collection.
Come raise your thankful voice, ye souls redeemed with blood. Leave earth in all its toys, and mix no more with mud. Dearly we're bought, highly esteemed, redeemed with Jesus' blood redeemed. Dearly we're bought, highly esteemed, redeemed with Jesus' blood redeemed.
Now, there are hundreds of hymns in the Gadsby Hymnal. How do you choose which texts to use? How does that kind of come together?
You know, it's really not there's really not a lot of rhyme or reason to it. Like, I feel like I should say that we pray about it and we find a text that really speaks to us, but generally we'll get a tune in our head or a chord progression that we like, and we'll just find a meter that works. And we do consider the words. Like if we land on a text and the words just don't make any sense, or it's really dated language, or it just sounds awkward, we won't do it. But generally it's just that the hymnal has so much going on in it that you can really literally sort of just pick a page. And sometimes as exercises or just for fun, we'll just, you know, pick a text that we've been sort of hovering around or thinking about, and we'll all just go in separate rooms sometimes and try to write a melody or...
Well, how do you decide on which hymns to choose from? Is there a text that just jumps out at you that pulls you? And then you say, oh, we've got to do this one. Let's put a great melody to it. How does that work?
You know, we've tried that a few times. There's been texts that we've like really tried to, like, okay, this text is really great, we got to do it. And a lot of times that ends up not working. I think people have different ways they go about it. I know Clint and I, we usually, our philosophy is just to write a whole bunch and then see what kind of rises to the top. So we've, you know, we'll write 50 songs and the 12 best will be the ones that make it to a record kind of deal. So
you write the melodies before and then you come with a text?
No, it happens at the same time.
Yeah, it pretty much happens at the same time.
And it usually happens really quick. Like, it either happens in about 3 or 4 minutes or it doesn't happen and we kind of move on.
So it's like you've got these melodies that are floating around in your head. You find a specific hymn text that you like and you kind of see which ones. You put them together and see, is this going to be a birth here? Is this going to be a song? It's like a birth. Or sometimes it doesn't happen. Sometimes it comes together and it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd never really thought about it like that before. But yeah, I mean, usually it's like we thumb through the hymnal together and it's like, hey, look at this one. And then we just start singing it, you know? And you just start singing a melody and then finding the chords, or Clint's playing chords and I'm hearing a melody, or I'm playing chords and Clint's hearing a melody, or Ashley's killing it, and so we...
There are sections to the hymnal, too, that once you spend some time in it, you can navigate it better. Like, there's a whole part of it that are strictly Joseph Hart's hymns. There's a whole section of it that are strictly William Gatsby's hymns. There are little pockets of William Cooper's hymns.
Yeah, lately I've been camping out with Ann Steele.
Yeah, some hymn writers will go to, like, we'll... Because they credit the authors, so sometimes, for me in particular with William Cooper, if I'll try to write a tune to every William Cooper text I ever find, even if it's crap, I'll try to do it, you know, because I like his text so much. So in that way, it's a little preconceived, but mostly it's just sitting in a room, and when something sounds good, we hit the green light. When something sounds like crap, we just move on.
Draw my soul to thee, my Make me love thy precious word. Bid me seek thy smiling face, willing to be saved by grace. Dearest Jesus, bid me
guys take this show on the road? Do you do any touring?
I wouldn't necessarily call it touring, but
we did about 300 dates last year. I think
right.
Was it about 300?
Yeah, low key.
Right, really key. We probably get, I would say, in a good year, maybe 8 or 9 events, and we'll have churches. We've gone to churches and done, they've just wanted us to come and do a concert of hymns, which we kind of feel is almost inconsistent with the nature of hymns, because they're meant to be corporate. So we always try to make the text forefront when we do something like that. And then we've done some retreats, we've done some camps, and actually led and worship with some of our hymns, some other hymns. And then we've done some stuff in town. You know, there have been a couple of churches in town in Birmingham that have asked us to come to do something there. So, but I would say on average we do maybe 8 or 9 events a year, and maybe 4 or 5 of those are actually out of town for us. So,
yeah, we turn down a lot of stuff because they want us to travel, and they don't have any money to pay us, and we just can't afford to travel and play our songs for free. So, I mean, as much as we'd love to be able to do that, it's get a lot more calls and we would fall through.
Well, we all have jobs, and I'm a mom, and so it's a little bit...
I'm also a mom.
it's, you know, it's just more difficult to leave than it used to be, and so so Brian ends up turning some stuff down. So, yeah.
But we like it. And we've played for conferences, and it's always really encouraging to hear how people kind of respond to these songs and realize that... I mean, it's easy for us to feel like we're kind of in a cave, just sort of grinding away just because writing is... I don't know, I kind of write these songs for personal therapy more than anything else. And so then to realize that other people are also finding them meaningful is a...
What has been the response? What are some of the favorite songs that you find people saying, wow, I really have connected with that song, with that hymn? How has that been?
Gosh, I'm not really sure. I mean, people tend to respond... I think Brian always says it always surprises us, the ones that people have chosen to do for their churches corporately. because they're not necessarily ones that they would do at Red Mountain or that we feel like were just one of the strongest songs on a record. And it's really been very varied as far as what people feel like has ministered to them or that they like. It's just different for different people. I can't necessarily think of one in particular song that we've gotten.
I think people like Weary of Earth a lot.
Yeah, The King of Saints is one that people request a lot and say they do often in their church. It's hard for us to know because we tend to like the newest stuff we're doing and forget about the older stuff. But
weary of earth, myself and sin, dear Jesus, set me free. And to thy glory take me in, for there I long to be. Let a poor labor here below, when from his toil set free, to rest in peace eternal go, for there I long to be.
Well, your most recent album came out late last year, This Breaks My Heart of Stone. Anyone familiar with Red Mountain Church that picks up this album is going to notice some differences. What's exciting about this newer album?
Yeah, well, I think it's the best record we've made. Every time we make a record, we think it's the best record we've made. But I think that the ambient stuff on this record is the most cool ambient stuff we've ever done. I think the country stuff we did on this record is the most country stuff we've ever done. Like, I just think that each genre that we sort of poked around in, we did it the best that we've ever done it, and it's really satisfying for me to listen to. And we made the record with a friend of ours named Benj from Texas. Brian and I and Benj wrote the record together, and so it's exciting to listen to it, to think about that time when we spent a weekend here in Birmingham just sort of camping out in the studio and writing songs. And
to add to that too, the Help My Unbelief was the record before that, and we were really proud of that record and put a lot of time into it and a lot of energy, and I mean, we're pretty exhausted afterwards. I mean, I remember feeling like, I don't know if I got another one in me, and so I was pretty nervous making another one, just feeling like, because it's, we don't want to do a record if we don't feel like we can do something that we haven't done before, or if we can't do something artistically where we're kind of pushing ourselves. So it was pretty painstaking. I mean, we really tried to, and I don't think we're doing anything groundbreaking. I look at the music I listen to and I'm really challenged by that and feel like what I do is just, fails in comparison. But we spent a lot of time on the mix. We spent a lot of time with little nuance kind of sounds. Clint and I there's certain records we're dragging chains across the ground. We're hitting different cans on different walls to get the right sound for percussion elements and graphing it in that kind of stuff was fun to see come together. We tried a lot of new ideas, and we tried to use, this is a borrowed phrase, but we really tried to use the studio as like another instrument and another voice with the sounds we were kind of capturing and pulling.
Borrowed that phrase from me.
Yeah, but I think you borrowed it from like Bono or something.
I probably stole it from, from Paul McCartney. And...
Well, let me play two or three clips from your new album, This Breaks My Heart of Stone, so we can kind of get a taste of what this album is like.
High beyond imagination is the love of far too deep for human reason, fathom that it never can. Love eternal richly dwells in Christ the Lamb.
give what I have long implored, a portion of thy love unknown. Turn and look upon me, Lord, and break my heart of stone. And break my heart of stone.
There everlasting spring abides and never withering flowers. Death like a narrow sea divides this heavenly land from ours. Could we but climb where Moses stood and view the landscape, or not joy
So what's next for Red Mountain Church? What's the project that you're working on right now?
We're in the middle of, we're just about to start post-production on a Christmas record. And there's been, I've had a lot of anxiety about this because Christmas music can be kind of nauseating. But and we've been just plugging away, just drilling, you know, Christmas songs, June and July. And I got kind of burned out. Clint's been really encouraging and keeping it going in a lot of ways.
What kind of sound are you going for with this Christmas record? Is this going to be sort of the same eclectic Red Mountain Church style, a new twist of Christmas melodies? Kind of what are you doing with that?
I guess I'll answer that one. Well, we're using all traditional Christmas hymns, traditional melodies. You just can't mess with those. But they definitely have the Red Mountain touch. There was one song that was going to get canned, and they kind of re-looked at it because the first time they played it, they felt like it sounded too much like what would come out of a hymn book. And they took another look at it and gave it the Red Mountain touch. So, yeah, I mean, it's all going to be familiar melodies and songs. There's one hymn that may be a little bit more unfamiliar, but it's still a traditional melody. And
you're singing the whole thing?
Oh, well, yeah. I'm the only vocalist, much to my chagrin, on this.
The cover art's really cool. We're going to have Ashley in a choir robe next to a Christmas tree holding a baby.
Right.
It's going to be really tasteful.
Yeah, it's going to be really edgy and different.
That's not true. This is all a joke. But yeah.
With like one of those word bubble things, and she's going to be saying
that's
Merry
like,
Christmas.
Yeah, that says Yuletide.
Yeah.
From RMM.
Yeah. Yeah. From our home to yours.
Right.
God bless us, everyone.
When is the release date?
October 1st is what we're shooting for. We're shooting to have it out. October 1st. Yeah, we're shooting to have it out by Christmas this year for sure.
We've started a video campaign on YouTube.
Which is basically what Clint Wells means is he started the Clint Wells Show.
We've made a bunch of really funny videos that are sort of out there to promote our music if you want to talk about that website, but I think it's youtube.com/redmountainmusic. You can google it. Or
and the only thing I would add too, and I'm probably talking too much, is that I do think our music, you know, and we get, well, I feel some criticism for this from time to time, but I mean, Clint and I, we always kind of say this half jokingly, but that we're really bad Christians, you know, and that's not like a humble thing to say. It's like, it's really pretty true. And these songs, I think a lot of why we really like them so much and why we keep going back to old hymn texts is we really resonate with sort of the doubt and the fear and the sort of running away from Jesus that people used to write about. Because I don't feel like I'm a Christian that thinks of Jesus often. I think of myself as a Christian that thinks of Jesus very seldomly. And I have a lot of tension about church and about faith and about my family and about the things I believe and about my friends and where we all are and whether or not God's going to show up, you know, all that stuff. And so, I don't know, these hymns have just been really good, and it's been really great to connect with other people who kind of get that. I don't know, that to me is what I think keeps this, that's kind of the thread of this music that kind of keeps it going.
Yeah, and that's why when we do go out and people, like sometimes we'll get a little embarrassed to sing a song like Weary of Earth because it's so intense and it's so honest, and it's been really surprising and refreshing to see people respond to that song or a song like Help My Unbelief, where, I mean, we've had people tell us that they were so glad that we've given them a language to express some of those feelings, because the hymns just sort of give you more freedom to talk about those things, and that's why we keep going back to them.
Yeah, it's been really amazing to just see, you know, we've had people tell us, I mean, people are going through some really hard stuff, and people have come up to us after we've played or whatever and just said, this one song has helped me get through this specific event in my life, and it has just really been amazing for us. We feel really humbled by that and really blessed by that, to get to be a part of that kind of a ministry in somebody's life. That has been really a neat thing, is just to get to see that, you know, we're not alone, and that these hymns really do resonate with other people and not just us. So,
and people tell us sometimes that they're so thankful for our ministry. And
I kind of look over my shoulder like, who are they talking to?
Yeah, are they talking to me? Because I don't think we ever really have seen this as like a... I even feel embarrassed saying it's a ministry, but I think we really, at the end of the day, we write these songs because we have to sing these songs. And if no one sang them but us or our small church here, I think we would be fine. And it's really nice and surprising that a lot of people like our music and want to sing our songs in their church services and all that.
Yeah, and it really is an honor just to be able to be part of it. And I say we're bad Christians, but that excludes Ashley. Ashley's actually a very good Christian.
Yeah. We learn a lot from Ashley about how to be good.
Right.
Well, thank you guys for being with us, and I hope everyone listening will check you guys out. Red Mountain Church, check out Red Mountain Music, and listen to some of the great stuff that they have, and we're looking forward to that Christmas project. This is Trevin Wax, and I hope you've enjoyed this podcast interview with Red Mountain Church.
Come boldly to the throne of grace, for Jesus fills the throne. And those he kills, he makes alive. He hears the sigh or groan. Poor bankrupt souls who feel and know the hell of sin within, come boldly to the throne of grace. The Lord will take you in, take you in.